Psalm 45. Psalm 45. After some digging into the history of this unique product at the time, it was discovered that Procter & Gamble chemist James Gamble made a notation in 1863 that an error had taken place in the production. Too much air had been whipped into this bar of soap, causing it to be the first to actually float in the water. That's the days when people used to take baths out in rivers. And if you dropped your soap, you wouldn't get it, find it again. That was one of the added benefits of this product, but the main benefit was this claim. Our soap is 99.44% pure. If you really want to be clean, buy our soap. Business partner Harry Procter was sitting in church one Sunday morning, trying to come up with an appropriate name for the exceptional soap his chemist friend James Gamble had created. Both were godly men. Their minds were wondering, as some of your are, when I preach on Sunday morning as well. Their minister was preaching on the beauty of the purity of Christ. Christ is seen as the King and desiring to protect his bride from all the perverse and filthy attacks of the enemy's arrows. And by the way, the enemy's shooting arrows at us all the time. Amen? Got to put up that shield of faith. But the minister was reading from Psalm 45, so let's look at it. Psalm 45, and we'll look verses 1 through 8. Psalm 45, starting in verse 1. Here's what the minister was preaching that day. My heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God has blessed thee forever. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with thy glory and thy majesty. And in thy majesty ride prosperously because of truth and meekness and righteousness. And thy right hand shall teach thee awesome or terrible things. Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies. That's the sword of the Spirit, by the way. Whereby the people fall under thee. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia out of the ivory palaces whereby they have made thee glad. What do you think this bright white soap was named? Ivory soap. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we ask that you'd open up the word today to us. We thank you, dear Lord, for the pureness of the gospel, that the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse a sinner's heart if they'll just believe in Christ alone to save them from their sins. I thank you for this good news, dear Lord. And Lord, though we might be in our minds 99.44% of 100 pure, we'll still die in our sins and go to hell. Because there's absolutely no defilement that's allowed into heaven. It's a pure place, and it'll stay that way forever. Oh, Lord, we look forward to that place. And those of us who have this hope of seeing the high and holy one lifted up, the one who paid the price for all of our perversities, our sicknesses, in the spirit, our disobedience, the exceeding sinfulness and deceitfulness of sin that's gripped our hearts at times. We lift up our face to you, Christ, and we praise you, and we thank you. We exalt you Nothing in my hand I bring, only to thy cross I cling. All God's people say, amen. Wow, today's title, Titus 1, 15 through 16, pure through the blood of Christ. Go to Titus chapter 1, if you will, please. Titus chapter 1. And how do you find those books real fast? All of them begin with a T, right? Thessalonians, Timothy, and then Titus. That's how you can find it quicker. There are three letters written to pastors to encourage other men to be spiritual leaders in the church. First and Second Timothy and Titus. Timothy and Titus are two apprentices of Paul's. Titus is a Gentile. He was not circumcised. And therefore, when Judaizers came, Paul told them to immediately drive them out. They came. They were the Jews who had followed from Pentecost. When they were left the island of Crete, they went to Jerusalem at the time of Pentecost, where Peter preached that Christ is the foundation, Christ is the head of the church, and build your life upon him. They believed that. They believed in Christ for their salvation. They took that back to the island of Crete. And then these Jews, leaders, brought the law with them and were starting to tell the believers in Crete that you had to add the law to be truly saved. And then the oral traditions came in, ridiculous things like how many times to wash your hands before you eat. You know, do you go all the way down to the elbow? Now, the really religious people, they don't stop at the wrist. They go all the way down to the... Now, if you're a surgeon and you're operating on my heart, go ahead and wash to the elbow. I'm okay with that, amen? But if you're making me a sandwich, I think the hands are good enough. You know, I tried it on my mom one time, and I said... Jesus, you know, mom said, everybody wash your hands. We're out playing ball in the yard, you know, dirt all over the face and arms and hands. And I tried to pull the Bible out of context, you know, and use it for my own disobedience. How many of you know you can do that? Yes or no? And false teachers do it all the time, by the way. And we do too when we're trying to justify sin. I pulled it out of context as a young boy. And mom said, y'all get in there and wash your hands and then get to the supper table. And I said, Mom, Jesus said, to eat with unwashing hands is not what defiles a man. And I said, I want to be like Jesus, you know. And a little smirk on my face. And she said, well, you're not Jesus, so get in there and wash your hands. You know, so that handled that one. She knew the Bible too, and she knew it probably said, Jesus said, obey your parents. That settles it, amen. So, yeah, it's always difficult when you run into someone who knows the Bible a little better than you and uses it the right way, amen. That's what was happening there. We got to know the Bible, folks, because false prophets take the Bible and they use it in the wrong way all the time. I had nothing wrong with the statement Catholic, by the way, because Catholic is just a general term for Christian. But what happened several centuries ago is that the Romans added to Catholic and it became Roman Catholicism. And that's not a true system. When you take the deities, the Roman gods, and their statutes, and you try to join it to church, it changes the church. So Roman Catholicism is not a true system. And that's why false things come out of it. I've got friends, and they say, well, I understand that, Pastor Long, I understand that. And I'll ask them, do you believe that Christ alone is your only way of salvation? And they say, yes. And some of them still go to the Catholic Church. So they're saved in spite of that, not because of it. Mary is not a co-redeemer with Jesus. That's a false teaching. Nowhere does the Bible teach about a pope, except for this. There's only one blessed potentate, Jesus Christ. That's a clear statement in the Bible. But that's just one area that needs to be clarified there. Be careful. Just go back to the beginning of Catholic, and you'll see that that's a general term for Christianity. Roman Catholicism is a diversion from the truth, and it is not a true system. If you add another prophet, for instance, to a religious system that's not in the Bible like Muhammad, you know you have a false system. Yes or no? If you add another book instead of this book to follow, you know you have a false system. That's Mormonism. Jesus isn't a super man who became God. If you follow their system, you as a superhuman can be a God too. That's a false system. That's not true. If you devalue Jesus Christ down to a man and not God like Jehovah's Witnesses, that's a false system. Now that I've got all of you mad and you want to go away and you don't want to talk to me anymore, let's go to the truth. See, when you preach the truth, as I notice my tone, I'm trying to be very kind about these things, but you have to be truthful. Then the damnation of the Word of Faith movement. The Word of Faith movement is a false system too. I'll show you one after we read Titus chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. Let's read that first, and then we'll go to Romans, and I'll show you one of the major errors of the Word of Faith movement. Very dangerous. But Titus 1, 15 through 16. Unto the pure, that's those who have believed on Christ, they're not adding the law to be saved. They're not Jews trying to make you to become a Jew. They're not teaching the oral traditions, like how many ways to wash your hands. They're not judging you walking 200 feet past your door on the Sabbath. Tie a rope where you can walk 200 more feet. These are the kind of oral interpretations the Talmud, for instance, came up with. And that's a false system. It's called Judaizing. But the truth, the pure doctrine of faith, the faith, by the way, the only faith for Jew and Gentile, is Jesus the Jew, God who became man in the Jewish race, died on the cross for our sins after living a sinless and perfect life, was dead for 3 days. And after 3 days, his spirit re-entered his body. He stood up, walked out of that grave. He is God in human flesh, and his resurrection proves it. Therefore, his death on the cross was effectual to pay for all of our sins. All God's people say, amen. That's all I really need to say. Let's go home. That's all I said today. We could all go home and say, yep, that's pure. That's pure. That's the pure gospel. I'm already feeling pretty good about it. I feel wonderful about it. But in verse 15, he concludes this about ordaining ministers who know the pure truth of the gospel, and be careful of those adding something else. They're doing it for money, and that's the only reason they're doing it. Verse 11, their religion, they're just getting rich off religion. Dishonest gain. But in verse 15, unto the pure, all things are pure. You got to be pure first to think purely. You're pure through Christ. Think of that. Pure through Jesus Christ in the eyes of God. I'd have never believed it. All my life, I wanted to be fully accepted by somebody. My wife gets close, you know, but she's not God. All my life, inside my heart, I just longed to be fully accepted by somebody who just knew me through and through, the good, bad, and the ugly, and they just loved me anyways. That's Jesus Christ. That's Jesus Christ. So why do we want to live a pure life as we can? Because we're already pure. Already pure. Why do we want to be holy? We're already holy. We're already declared to be saints. Pure doctrine. So wonderful. I love the truth, don't you? The truth sets you free from all lies. Verse 15, unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled, that's impure, unclean, and unbelieving, they haven't believed the gospel, is nothing pure. Always trying to add something to the sauce to be satisfied. never going to happen. But even their mind and their conscience is defiled. But strangely enough, look at verse 16. They profess that they know God, but in works, they deny him. They don't allow him to govern their lives. Their character is abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work disapproved, meaning a reprobate. God has not approved their work. Wow. Let me show you one of the dangers of the Word of Faith movement. People, and again, people leave the church when I preach these things. I'm trying to be very gracious. The largest church, Joel Osteen, passage for the Word of Faith movement. They don't preach the true gospel, that's all I can tell you. Those with itching ears, the self-esteem movement, the self-aggrandizement movement, just flock in there. People thinking so good about themselves, enjoying themselves as they're going straight to hell apart from Christ. They take a passage like this, for instance, Romans 4:17. Here's one of the major errors that they commit. Romans 4:17. You tell me who this is talking about. Romans 4:17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God. This is God talking about Abraham. Even God's the one who did that. Who quickeneth the dead. That means bring to life the dead. That's resurrection. A spiritual resurrection. Quickeneth the dead. There's no life there spiritually until Christ enters the heart. Who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. These dry bones will live, by the prophet Isaiah, means that one day when God calls Israel to be saved, they will be saved. In tribulation period, by the way. They take that passage and say, checkbook, I command thee to be full. Woo! Praise Jesus. And I can tell you, a checkbook's not going to be full with that foolishness. You cannot create things like your God. And it's a little God movement. Joyce Myers is one of them. Uses that all the time. Uses that very statement. It's blasphemy, folks. It's playing God. You cannot create righteousness. Joel Osteen said that 99%. I've been dealing with thousands of people now. Kind of got a nice smile, you know. Hair's a little wavier than mine. I might like to have a little bit of that. I don't know. But says, I've been dealing with thousands of people over the years, and I believe that 99.9% of people are good, and just a few of them are bad. Now, I can sit underneath the ministry after that year after year, and I start thinking pretty well about myself, and don't even need Jesus. But the Bible has another interpretation about man. It says there's none righteous. None of you are good. I'm not good either. So when you start laying out what they say versus what the Bible says, it's a great divide. It's the exaltation of man with a little God versus the exaltation of God with sinning people who need God. That's quite a difference. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that doeth good. All of us are gone out of the way. The prophet said in Isaiah 64:6, but we all are an unclean thing. We're defiled. We're impure. And all our righteousnesses, our attempts at righteousnesses, are as filthy rags. That's a woman's menstrual cloth. It's the same word for that. In the physical realm. How many of you know that's not a pretty scene? You say, well, that's a disgusting thing to say at church. It's a disgusting thing for people to think that they're self-righteous too. That's the point. We all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. We're just blown around by every wind of doctrine or whatever feels good at the time, whatever the next popular religious business is. The Bible says there's false prophets, there's going to be false teachers in the end times, and there's going to be many of them. They're unruly and they're rebellious, and they got their own doctrine and they're not preaching the true gospel. They're called wolves in sheep's clothing. They will not deal with sin. And you can sit underneath those ministries a long, long time and never deal with sin. Because sin's not popular. Slaughter of a lamb. Let's not talk about this bloody business. Well, I can tell you, if you don't talk about the slaughter of lambs in the Old Testament and what that meant, you'll never realize that Jesus was slaughtered on the cross for your sins. That's why you have to deal with sin. Cults are defined as those who misappropriate who Jesus is, and they preach another gospel. The Bible says they can't understand, but when the truth is given to them, the Holy Spirit can enlighten them, and they can be saved. Don't give up on the false teachers. Go after them. The Lord wants them to be saved too. 1 Corinthians 2:12 through 14. But we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. And we know the things which are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, we're preaching about it. Not in words of man's wisdom are we teaching, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. We compare spiritual things with spiritual things. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. The cross to a self-righteous man is an offense. You mean to tell me I've been a religious person all my life, and now it comes down to just believing the Messiah, the Anointed One, Christ for my salvation? You want me to give up all these oral traditions, eating with a spoon that doesn't weigh more than a fig on Saturday? You want me to give up all that stuff, and I was just trying to be practice these things perfectly. Well, two things happen when you try to practice perfectly to be earned salvation, and this is it, or even sanctification, grow in sanctification. Number one, delusion. I just can't keep the list. I can't go to that church because I can't keep the list, whatever the list is, and it changes with churches. Or, whatever the list might be, I'm actually doing it. Pride. But it's all centered in the self. And that's the danger of it. Same error as Galatians chapter 1, 6 through 8. Listen to this. I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that it called you to the grace of Christ and to another gospel. I marvel that you can be fooled so easily. Which is not another, it's not another gospel. But some are troubling you, causing you trouble. They try to pervert the gospel of Christ. Let me just say this. Though we or an angel from heaven, imagine that, an angel, boom, appearing right here in front of us. If that preaches another gospel unto you than that which we've already preached upon you about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, let him be accursed. Let that person be damned. A lot of people standing in pulpits today here are damned according to the Bible. They're preaching a false gospel. Folks, it's the strangest thing. There must be that quality of discipline in any field that's attractive to people. We want to be like other people naturally. That's why advertisements work so well. The brave, the bold, and the beautiful, you know. We want to be like that. So whatever they're wearing, that's what we want to wear. Whatever they're selling, that's what we want to buy. Strangely, this desire to be accepted by those claiming a superior righteousness is very strong. The psychology of someone being just a little bit closer to God than us is so appealing. But folks, often it's just a big lie. Galatians 2:11 through 16, Peter had that problem. He was eating with the Gentiles. But when these Judaizers, the Jews who wanted to add law to be saved, came, he separated himself from the Gentile believers. And Paul came and said to him, "You're playing the hypocrite, Peter. That's a rebuke." And he says this in Galatians chapter 2. "You know that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ," the Jewish believers, "that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be declared righteous or justified." None of them. Wow. So what do you think Peter did? Paul said, "Peter, you're to be blamed." And he withstood him to his face. I kind of like that. You got a problem with someone? How about talking to them in their face, not 20 other people? Huh? How about talking to them in their face? It's good. And be gracious. Because if the shoe was on the other foot and you might be getting rebuked, don't you want gracious rebuke, not heavy-fisted, in-your-face attitude? No. In your face, because I love you. Why would I want to scream at my wife's face when I enjoy kissing it? Getting a little too personal here, Pastor Don? Now I'm just telling you. Why is it that we want to act hateful to the people that we love the most at times? It's our flesh. That's the rotten part about us that can just flare up at any time. These Pharisees were circumcised in their flesh, but they weren't circumcised in their hearts, Jesus said. That means, here's the terrible thing, folks, about a Pharisee. They're depending on their own works to save them, and it'll never happen. Worse yet, they're deceived though they are doing it. What a joke. They're not doing it. People get mad at homosexuality, for instance, and God is sickened with that, no doubt about it. But he's also sickened with empty, solemn worship that doesn't even involve him. Mood setting, manipulation in ministry that you don't even need God for. Isaiah 1:18, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." That's a gift. Salvation is a gift. Romans is about one central theme, the whole book, 16 chapters. Anybody remember what the one central theme or one question that the book of Romans answers? Here it is. Who is righteous before God? Answer, nobody. Until they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he puts his righteousness into their account and takes our sin and put it on his account on the cross. That's the answer. That's pure doctrine. I love pure doctrine. Sets you free from all the lies. Doesn't make you popular in the world. I'm probably going to get some emails or texts. "I like this. Every now and then I hear so-and-so and they have some good things." I didn't say they don't have some good things to say sometimes. I'm just saying the basis is wrong. I can get good advice from one of my lawyer friends who's not even a Christian in town about kids. Common sense about a budget. But it doesn't mean I'm going to be godly. I got to go to the Bible for that. It doesn't mean I'm going to be right with God. Romans 10, 3 through 4, 9 and 10 and 13. "For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness," that's what happens. We try to establish our own righteousness because we don't know God's standard of righteousness, which is Jesus Christ. "They have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." That's pretty clear. For Christ is the end or the completion of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. So if you believe upon Christ, you completed the law. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, that Jesus is the Lord, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth he makes agreement to be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Look at Titus 1:15. The first thing here, what we're going to deal with is purity. Oh, I don't know. I'm going to go to that movie. I heard it's pure. No dirty stuff in it. How well you think that's going to sell? I'm just saying, folks, those who know the purity of the blood of Christ start hating sin. They don't start hating the sinners. That's going too far. Because now you're comparing yourself amongst yourself and becoming self-righteous. You don't hate sinners. You hate that they're wrapped up in sin. You pray for their release from sin. Even false teachers, you pray for their release, that they themselves would know Christ alone for salvation. So they might be free from all this religious business. Hocus pocus. Self-exaltation. Health, wealth, and prosperity. Who needs Jesus when you got all that? And that's the damning message. Self-sufficiency. Unto the pure, all things are pure. The pure here are those who are clean. We sang earlier, have you been washed in the blood? What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's all. Nothing else. Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Do you see God giving his son for you? Because you're a sinner. That's seeing God purely. Because that's what he did. Jesus is our eternal high priest. The only potentate between God and men is the man Christ Jesus. No other man. No other woman. Hebrews 7:25-26. Wherefore he, Christ, our eternal high priest, is able also to save them to the fullest degree, the uttermost, that come unto God by him or through him. Seeing he ever liveth, he resurrected, and he's making intercession for us right now. For such a high priest became us, it was fitting for us. And here's the description of him. He's holy, harmless. I love that part, don't you? Harmless. He talked to some people, it's like talking to a Brillo pad. Abrasive. Not Jesus. He's harmless. And then this spiritual quality, undefiled. That means he's pure. That's the word we're talking about, Titus 1:15. He's undefiled. He's clean through and through. He's separate from sinners. He's made higher than the heavens. 1 Peter 1:22-23. Seeing ye have purified, same word, your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart, fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. If you believed the gospel, your heart has been purified. Now take that purity that Christ has placed into you by faith, which is himself, and let it be shown to the other believers in the church. Have a fervent, a zealous, a burning desire to love one another. You know, the ladies did a lot of hard work yesterday here at the church. They had an enjoyable time, I understand, too. Some of the ladies stayed and then also worked serving for the Barb Munsell Memorial. And I just want to thank you so much, ladies, for your work and continual working. It's a wonderful thing to see servants of the Lord. Most of them had sweaty face. Been here so long. Some of them said, "You're probably not going to see me tomorrow. I'm exhausted." I said, "No problem. If you don't come tomorrow, we're all going to condemn you. Just going to let you know how terrible you are, getting worn out and serving God, not coming to church the next day." No, I said, "I understand. I get tired sometimes and I can't make it. I didn't do this or that." "No problem. See you next time when you get some strength back." You know, I looked Jeannie Russell in the face. Sorry, Jeannie, embarrassed a little bit. I said, "Jeannie, you know, I love you, Jeannie. You have such a servant's heart. Jeannie, I love you. That's, I think, great to be loved, Jeannie." She said, "Yeah, I love you too, Pastor. It's just great to be loved." I said, "It's so wonderful." You know, when you're fully loved, you realize you're fully loved by God, you can just love other people. No airs, no hypocrisy, none of that garbage. Just, "Hey, I love you. Care about you. Praying for you." Song was written a number of years ago. "There's nothing too dirty that you can't make worthy. You wash me in mercy, and I am clean. Washed in the blood of your sacrifice. Your blood flowed red and made me white. My dirty rags are purified. I am clean. I am clean. I am clean." I love it. In Jesus Christ, we're pure from all sin. Somebody say amen. Amen. And oftentimes we struggle and we choose to sin, but the power of the gospel is we don't have to sin. 1 John 1:7-9, listen to this. "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another." We don't get saved all over again. But fellowship is important. The basis of fellowship is the basis of salvation. What is it? "And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." That's purity. "If we say we have no sin," no sin nature, "we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." We got a sin nature. "If we confess our sins," our individual acts of sins, after asking Jesus to save us from our sins, "he is faithful." He will do it. "And just." He is righteous. "Because he has placed our sin account on Jesus, God is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." It's a perpetual cleansing. False teachers, as well as all other unbelievers, are described to their true spiritual state before God, and it's not pretty. Look at it. By the way, this was our state before we trusted Christ. "But unto them which are defiled," that means they're not pure. They're not pure in their mind, and they're not pure in their conscience. You know what the Bible says? "Beloved, if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our hearts and knoweth all things." I was praying one day and the devil whispered to me, "Look at you praying. Who are you putting on a show for?" And there wasn't nobody there but me. I started talking back to him. "I'm not putting on a show for anybody." And I thought, well, maybe I'm just going through a religious... Wait a minute. I'm trying to talk to God here. "Get thee behind me, Satan." Can we get an amen? That's a spiritual attack. That happens all the time. Fiery darts of the wicked one. He's a snake and he hates us. The unbelievers are defiled in mind and heart. Everything that can be clean is turn to some perversity in some fashion, and they love to have it that way. Unless we believe God, we can't please God. Unless we believe God, we can't please God. Hebrews 11:6, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is God, first of all, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." They keep coming to God and praying. And God rewards those who pray and ask him for things by answering their prayers. Sometimes it takes a little longer than others to get answered, doesn't it? Anybody know that? My dad prayed for my brother, my uncle, Gregory, to be saved. And Gary, he's got two brothers. For a long time. And 2 weeks before he died, Larry, the third brother, got saved. He trusted Christ as his Savior. Over 50 years of age, heading into his mid-60s, he trusted Christ. Was a drunk his whole life. Well, from 20-some after the Army all the way up to 60. Three marriages, kids all over the place. Drunk every Thanksgiving, drunk every Christmas. Moved back in with my... But 2 weeks of his life, he testified of the forgiveness of Christ. And he died. You think that's close. What about the thief on the cross? He didn't have 2 weeks. Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. I love that. The power of believing Jesus is our salvation. These unbelievers often try to build their own case to be accepted by God like religious people, and it's a waste of time. The Bible tells us in Philippians 3:19, the God of false prophets is their own belly, their own natural desire rules them. They don't believe that anything really is pure or that anything can make them pure. They don't believe that. They believe what's called yin-yang. You know, this kind of stuff. Anybody know what yin-yang? Gregory, you know what yin-yang is? Now, is that Chinese, Korean, or Japanese? Do you know which one that one is? Somebody's going to look that up. Carrie, you got to look that yin-yang up and see which one that is. Yin-yang. Anybody know what yin-yang is? Might be Chinese. I'm not sure. Okay, so it's a picture of, you know, let's just say a drop. And it's a black drop on one side and a white drop on the other, and they're blended together, right? But in the black, there's a little circle of white. And in the white, there's a little circle of black. You know what that teaches? In every evil, there's a good. And in every good, there's an evil. But that's not true. Jesus Christ is clean through and through. And the only blackness is our hearts. And that's why we need Christ. You see, that itself is a religious expression. And that's a false teaching too. So you can sit around with your hum, if you want to, you know, put your little fingers together and sticking out, coming to mindfulness. That ain't going to happen. Our minds are corrupt before Christ. Matthew, I'll tell you where corruption comes from. Jesus told us, Matthew 15:18-20. You don't wash your hands, that doesn't make you defiled. You might have dirty hands, but it doesn't make you defiled spiritually. But listen to this. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart. They defile the man, Jesus said. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. Murders. Boy, if I just get my hands on so-and-so. Adulteries. He or she looks pretty good to me, though. It's not my marriage partner. Who cares anyways? Everybody's doing it. Fornication, sexual activity outside of marriage in all forms. That rises up out of our heart, evil heart. Thefts, taking that what doesn't belong to us. False witness, telling lies to promote ourselves. Blasphemies, causing injury to the name of God. That's blasphemy. These are the things which defile a man, Jesus said, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. The truth is wonderful, isn't it? Yes or no? So wonderful. But if you want to be clean, you got to call out to God to be clean. And he'll cleanse you. David was a man after God's own heart. But guess what? He looked at Bathsheba from the top and he said, hey, she looks pretty good. Another man's wife. I'll just commit murder while I'm doing it. Because now she's having my child out of wedlock. And I'll just cover this whole thing up. But God was watching, wasn't he? How many great people can do very wicked things? You know why? Got sin in their heart. If you act out the suggestions of a sin in your heart, you can do anything an unbeliever can do except for deny Jesus as your Savior. You can't do that. Psalm 51, 1 and 2, 7:10, 12 and 17. Let me read it fast. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. Thank God for that. According to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. David's crying out to God with an adulterous heart. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Purge me with hyssop. That's the plant used in the animal sacrifices, dipping in the blood, putting it on the altar. And I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Create in me a clean heart, my Father. Renew a right spirit in me. He's singing, man. He's singing. I want a clean heart. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Not my work, your work, Christ. The sacrifices of God or to God or a broken heart. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou will not despise. God will not look down on you when you come with a heart like that. There's a warning in Titus 1:16. Look at it. They profess that they know God, but they don't. These false teachers of false gospel, they profess they know God, they don't know God. Matthew 7:21-23. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven, which means believe on Christ. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Well, yeah, they've used the name of Jesus. They just don't know Jesus. And in thy name I've cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. In their works they deny him, it says. In works they deny him. That means they refuse to let him work his will in them. He's not working in them. The devil is the one energizing their religious notions and false gospel. The devil's behind it. And Jesus calls them thieves and robbers, wolves in sheep's clothing. But when Jesus works, he works through the submitted believer. He works in and through the submitted heart of one who believes upon him. Philippians 2:11-13. That every, tell people this, that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, the ones who are the believing, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. He's talking about you know the gospel and you've continued to believe it. Work out your own salvation. That means you are saved, and work that salvation out in all areas of your life now. In your marriage, with your kids, at your job, in your church, in your career, in your school, your college. Let that salvation be evident to everybody you come in contact with. It's going to take fear and trembling. You will be resisted. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. False prophets don't allow that. They're not concerned about God's pleasure. They're concerned about their own pleasures. Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun, it has to be a beginning work of believing on Christ. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, the return of Christ. He's going to continue to draw you to his likeness. He won't stop working on you. These unbelievers or false teachers are called abominable. This all reminds me of growing up, the abominable snowman. I remember that. Little guy, big old white fuzzy thing coming out of the snow, you know. Scared to death as a little guy, showing it at Christmas time. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Just a few of you, okay. But abominable in the Bible, something that is particularly disgusting to God, detestable to God, something his purity causes him to hate. Something his purity causes him to hate. They're also disobedient. They have not obeyed the command to repent of their sin and to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a command. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ is a command. They have not obeyed that command. Romans 10, 14 through 17. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without Bruce Stewart going to preach to them? And how shall Bruce preach except he be sent with money? I'm just supplying the text here. As is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. I'm going to give Bruce a call. Hey, Bruce, I didn't realize you had beautiful feet. I'm going to talk to your wife about this. But when you're taking the gospel to someone, you have beautiful feet, Jesus said. And bring glad tidings of good things. That's the good news. You can't save yourself, but if you're willing, God will save you. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And in every attempt, look at the Bible here, unto every good work there reprobate these unbelievers, these false teachers, whom the Lord says, don't give up on, go after them with the truth. And in every attempt that a good work they're considered by God to be a reprobate, that means they're rejected after being put to the test. That was a stone where those quarrying stones to build a building, the one who was the architect or the builder would see this stone had a flaw in it, and he would mark it not fit for the building. That's the word that God uses here. These false teachers preaching another gospel of self-exaltation or trying to add rabbinical laws or interpretations, like not lifting up a spoon heavier than a fig on the Sabbath, or 15 ways to wash your hands, or not 200 feet out your door on Saturday. Unless you add a rope, then you can get 200 more feet. What a system. Men, the tradition of men, adding one thing to the next, so it just squeezes the life out of you. Those stones are marked as unfit to build on spiritually. But you know what the self-righteous people do? They look at Jesus and say, you're an unfit stone to build my life on. The stone which the builders have rejected has become the head of the corner to rest the whole building on. There's only one foundation, and that foundation's Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. There's only one faith. It's faith in Christ. Put yourself to the test. Prove it to yourself. Know ye not your own selves? Don't you know in your own heart how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates, marked, disapproved? Jesus saves sinners. He can't save self-righteous people. We got to get rid of that self-righteousness. You got to come to Jesus as a sinner. He's all you need. Some serious questions before we close here. Is Jesus Christ the place your heart rests to be pure before God? Is Jesus Christ the place your heart rests to be pure before God? Notice the absence of your works in that statement. Are you satisfied through faith in Christ that you are saved from your sins and have a pure heart before God because of him? Are you satisfied with Christ? Third question, saying the same thing three different ways. Are you convinced that apart from your faith in Christ's crucifixion for you, you would be damned eternally from God? Are you convinced? That's the truth. That is the truth. Let's say, like ivory soap, you've been a really good boy or girl, only in your mind. Let's say you're 99 and 44 one hundredths 100% pure. I have a message for you today. You would still die and go to hell in your sins because you're not pure through and through. It's not the outward washings that make us clean. It's the inward washing. Washed in the blood of the crucified. Sins all gone. Nothing to hide. He sees me through and through. And he knows, has the blood been applied in my heart? It has. And I sing praise to God because of it. What can wash away all my sins and make me clean, pure, pure, holy, and undefiled before God? The answer, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Therefore, be pure through faith in the blood of Christ. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for today's pure doctrine, your word. Thank you for enabling me, dear Lord, to preach the word in truth today. And I hope it was brought forth in the spirit of your love, that we might rest in nothing else but the blood of Jesus Christ. If there be anyone here today, dear Lord, who doesn't have that assurance, may they have the assurance by just calling out to you. Oh God, create me a clean heart. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe Jesus is my salvation and nothing else. Would you save me, oh God, in Jesus' name. Amen.